right, are we ready? We are talking about keeping seasons of the soul. Keeping. In financial realms, we talk about in financial counseling, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you keep. And when we do financial counseling, we try to figure out how much money you've made in your life and how much you've kept of all of that money. Big number, mostly no number, or I'm not doing financial counseling if you kept your money. So keeping is very important. We always talk about what to give up, what to throw away, what to get rid of, but we very seldom talk about what it is that we should keep. And faith, for example, is something you should keep, and yet it seems to me that it gets lost like I lose my car keys, my house keys. I never know where my keys are. Do you know where your faith is? You have to keep your faith. I'm always asking Margie, have you seen my keys? Yeah, they're in the door. Oh, yeah, that's a good place to keep them. You don't lose them that way. And when somebody, when you're going through something, and when I come up and I tell somebody, no, you have to keep your faith. And I know they want to slap me at that point, right? They just would rather just haul off and whack me. But it's the truth. And I had this situation where this person was getting their electric shut off. They had 2 weeks. And I started getting the calls. In 2 weeks, they're going to shut my electric off. I need this much money. God did not give me permission to help them. I don't care how serious your need is. I need permission from God to help. That's it. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. And if God doesn't want me to help you, it's because he has a plan and he needs you to go through with something, see something, go through something. He's trying to shape and mold you and he doesn't want me in the way. And so this person starts calling me and they're going to shut the electricity off in 2 weeks and they have no way to pay it. And I'm like, well, you got to keep your faith. A couple more days go by and I'm scared and they're crying. I'm like, no, you got to keep your faith. Well, this goes on for a while until the very day of, the phone's ringing off the hook. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're going to shut the electric off today. I said, nope, you got to keep your faith. Keep the faith. An hour comes by. They're going to shut it off in an hour. Want me to help? I'm like, nope, you got to keep your faith. I don't know what God's doing, but God's doing something. Keep the faith. Well, about 15 minutes before they were scheduled to shut the electric off, they got a client in, and the client said, I need this service, and would you mind if I paid you in advance? And so they got the money within 15 minutes of the electric being turned off, and they were able to cover their electric bill. See, God is a 11th hour, 12th hour God. Sometimes he's a last minute God. Sometimes he's going to let you sweat that thing out to get rid of that buildup of sweat you got. Stop sweating it. Keep the faith. God has got you. He's not going to abandon you. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but God has an answer. There's been so many stories where people have told me how God has come through in miraculous ways, and he's done it for me, and so I know that he can do it. So faith is something we have to learn to start keeping. Keep our faith. Where's my faith? I need to keep it. I need to use it. There are so many other things we have to keep, and so we're going to let Linda begin, and we'll see where this goes.
Okay. Our season of keeping faith means that we have to maintain our faithfulness to God's commandments. That's not if you want to. That wasn't a question. It was a statement.
All right. Can I talk on that just for a second? we often think God's grading on a curve.
Yeah.
I'm better than this person. I'm more holier than this person. I do more right than this person. God's not grading on a curve. God's saying, you got it or you don't got it, right? Trying to get to a point in our lives where we realize that it doesn't do us any good to take two steps forward and three steps back. It's not okay to do this right, but not give up this, this, and that. We're not going to ever get anywhere. We will remain in struggle. We will never get out of struggle. We have to keep, and we call it keeping the commandments of God, but I like to call it keeping right standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stay in the right standing with God at all times, because his hand of protection, his hand of provision, his hand of provision, all of his hands, we have to follow them. They're not going to follow us. And when we're outside of keeping with God, when we get outside and we're over here and we're gossiping and we go over here and we're lying and we're over here and we're doing all these things and we're just getting further and further and further away from God. And then it's okay to, well, you know, it's okay if I have this drink, nobody's watching, or if I smoke this thing and nobody, I don't think there's anything wrong with it type attitudes. You're just justifying your behavior. But what you don't understand is you're getting further away from God. And then you wonder why the struggle is real. Anybody going through struggle will tell you the struggle is real. And God loves us so much that he'll still get us out of the struggle. It's just painful. It's not going to get us out of the pain. I've watched God do amazing things. And I actually love it when somebody comes for help and God's already telling me yes. That's a beautiful thing. Because I like to help people. It is hard when God says no. It is hard, and people don't understand that. They're mad at me because I didn't help, but they don't understand. God told me no, and it's hard for me to say no, especially if I'm able to help. And that's the way it goes. But what were we talking about?
I'm talking about maintaining
obedience, commandments,
yes.
Right standing with
right
God.
Standing.
I love to watch people maintain the right standing with God, because I watch their lives turn around.
Mm-hmm.
You show me somebody whose life is drastically turned around, and I'll show you somebody keeping in right standing with God. 100%? No, there's no way. All right?
Right.
I get that. I don't do 100%. But 40% is better than 30. 50 is better than 40. 70 is better than 60. 80 is better than 70. The closer you get to it, the more your life's going to turn around. The more you're going to find that you have a joyful life. That's a lot of about what is turning life around. Struggle will make you a miserable person. And when you're in right standing with God, you're going to find that you struggle less, you struggle for less time, and you maintain your joy through the struggle. Because you know, you kept the faith. You know, as I preached not long ago, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to come out of the struggle. I know I'm coming out of this struggle. I know I'm not staying here. I know it doesn't look good, but I'm going to keep my faith, and I'm going to come out of this struggle because I'm going to stay in right standing with God. And I'm going to stop worrying about what I think things should be or are, and I'm going to look to God to see what he says about it, and I'm going to go that way. Because we all have our opinions about everything. Mm-hmm. And I try my best to teach you in a way that I'm not giving you my opinion, but I'm only telling you what God said. Because my opinions matter nothing. I had to come to that conclusion. It was hard for me to come to that conclusion that what I think it is or what I think it should be is irrelevant. It's what God says it is or should be. That is exactly it. And then understanding all the nuances of why he said that. And that's how I learned to grow. But before I could even grow, I had to get in good, better standing than I was. We have to move forward. We have to get things right.
The scripture that Bishop's talking about when he said that God doesn't grade on a curve, pretty much, that's my words, not his, is God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect him any more than he respects me. He doesn't respect me any more than he respects you. He's held at a different standard. I'm held at a different standard, but the respect from God is the same. God is not a respecter of persons. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. Because too many people let the flapping of somebody's jaws cause them to walk away from God. Do a self-check. Going on, we need to be safeguarding our valuable relationships. Now, that's not a valuable relationship that you deem valuable. It's a valuable relationship that God deems valuable. Which means you may be unevenly yoked and walking in a hole. Ain't happening. You need to safeguard the relationships that God puts together. Scripture for that is what God puts together, let no man put asunder.
And also keep in mind, you might be good and mad at me right now, but I might hold your blessing a year from now. You might be seeing red because I didn't do what you wanted me to do, but yet I might be holding your blessing a year from now. Okay? So it is very important to know which relationships to keep, even if you'd like to end it permanently.
Right.
Because if God put the relationship together, you got to stop and think about it. How did I get here? How did we get together? How did we become friends? How did we get to know each other? What conspired to put us together? And is this godly? Yes, I'm emotional right now. Yes, I'm angry right now. Yes, they didn't do what I wanted them to do right now. But does that mean I'm supposed to throw it away? There's no. You getting spanked without me trying? Okay. It happens. I forgot what I was going to say next.
Okay,
go ahead.
We also have to preserve the spirit of truth. He's talking about safeguarding relationships and relationships, making sure that they're of God and protecting those relationships. I can tell you very surely that if you're in my life, you're in my life for a reason, not a season. I don't throw anybody away. Now, that don't mean that I won't pray about what you're doing. And if God discards you or removes you out of my life, that's on him. I'll put up with you, but it ain't saying, I'm not saying I'm not going to pray about you. Just saying, you got to be careful with what you do.
Keeping the truth is extremely difficult for most people. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so we will tell them an untruth to save their feelings. And we've lost our truth. God wants us to keep the truth. Go back to the sermon I wrote, I Am Truth. Because God wants us to be true. Listen, guys. it's Father's Day coming up. And my whole life, Margie will ask me, do you like this dress? Do you like this blouse? Do you like this shirt? Do you like these shoes? I don't know why she asked me, because I'm going to tell her the truth. No. Well, I'll change it. I'm not telling you to change it. You asked me if I liked it. I don't like it. I don't care if you wear it or not. What's the advantage of that? Well, that'll hurt her feelings. Yes, I'm sure it has hurt her feelings a time or two till she got used to it. But let me tell you, the adverse of what it really did is when she comes to me and says, do you like this dress? And I say, yes, I love that dress. It's gorgeous on you. It lifts her spirits 10 times higher. Because she knows I really love it. I really like it, or I would have told her the opposite. Because I kept the truth. You got to keep the truth. You can only worry about somebody's feelings up to the point where you have to lie. Then you can't worry about their feeling anymore, because truth is something God wants you to keep. He wants you to be truthful. That's why he said, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Because if you tell somebody you're going to do something, he wants you to keep your word. He wants you to be truthful. Amen. The Bible says this, keep your word unto your own hurt. Because he wants you to be truth. He wants you to keep your truth. And when you don't keep your word, you have cut loose your truth. So it's important that we keep our truth. Sometimes I'll give somebody the option of retracting their question. Are you sure you want to ask me that? If I ever tell you that, that's me telling you you're not going to like the answer. So I'm going to give you one more shot to walk away. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you.
But sometimes they need to hear what you need to say.
Well, they do, but sometimes they don't want to hear it. So they have to decide whether they want to hear it or not.
So when I hurt y'all's feelings, it's scripture. Y'all better write it down today on the calendar. When I hurt y'all's feelings, it's scripture. Because I'm going to go back and I'm going to get y'all a copy of the sermon. Let's look at the scripture.
Okay. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
If the Holy Spirit is in you, should you not be a Spirit of truth? The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. People are walking around with no clue that there's a Holy Spirit. Christians are walking around with no clue that there's a Holy Spirit. Doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. When you go around telling lies, first of all, you think you fooled somebody, and half the time you have not fooled anybody. They know you're lying. You are proving you are void of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. How many of you think the Holy Spirit tells lies?
Doesn't need to.
Does it? So if you're lying, where's the Holy Spirit?
He must have been sent to town. Like you tell us, go to the car. Somebody send him to the car. No, listen, you know, I have to laugh, and this is off track, but I have to laugh because when he was talking about lying. I watch you guys on a regular basis walk up to him and flat out lie to him. And when you walk away, he looks over at me and goes, "That was a lie." And within 24 hours, it's revealed that it was a lie.
They still don't believe it, though.
I have watched y'all do it so many times. I wish I'd have wrote a book now. I really do. And what the lie was about. Because, you know, the next thing you know is his phone's ringing and they're, well, you know, it really didn't happen that way. Let me tell you about it. He's got a saying, and it's true. If Satan don't tell him, or if God don't tell him, Satan will. If you abide by that rule and you watch people, I'm pretty good at most people when they're lying to you won't look at you. So I'm pretty good. I'll stare you right straight in the eye. And when you look away from me, yep, chalk one. Depending on how many times you do that, it's whether you're lying to me or not. Mm-hmm. The body language, all that gives it away. But it's more than that. It's about understanding the importance of stewardship and provision or provision. It's living according to his will and guidance, a.k.a. a reflection of love of his obedience or your obedience to him. You have to reflect God in everything you do and say. I have a saying, and I used to teach people when I trained them, that they not only reflected their job or themselves, where they lived, their family, but they reflected their job, such as me. I don't only reflect me or what I do. I reflect these two and this church everywhere I go.
And God,
yes. Well, it's not a given because some people don't know that. But yes, that to me, that's a given. I'm reflecting all of them. So every time something comes out of my mouth, it's going to come back on them, him, and here. Every time something comes out of my mouth. So you better make sure what you say is worth it and you're planting good seeds and not bad seeds, yes?
That is why the people that have chosen to have positions in the church, if you want complete freedom, quit your positions, and I will never say nothing to you. But as long as you're holding a position in this church, you are not free to type anything you want to type and send it out over the airwaves. You are not free to do that. We will have you take that down in seconds.
Mm-hmm. The thing about...
Because you're reflecting not only yourself, your opinion, but people, rightfully or unrightfully, doesn't matter. People are looking at you and saying, that's Working Faith Ministries.
Absolutely.
That's Bishop Oki. That's God. And they take it out on God, what you're doing, and it's not fair to God. It's not fair to the church. It's not fair to me. I tell leaders all the time, if you're going to be in position, you give up your rights. You want to hold on to your rights, quit your position. Then you can hold on to your rights and you can go be whoever you think you should be. But if you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, then there are things you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Let me stress to you this, and I've talked it over with Bishop in the past, but let me stress this to you. When and I'm going to use him and I because he can't get offended with me. He stays offended with me. I'm just kidding. Okay, I got that golden banana. Yes. Okay. So I'm posting away on Facebook, or I'm on Facebook just searching, and I see something he's posted. I don't like it. I come back at him. I come back at him in a nasty, nice way. But it's still nasty, okay? I think that in the split second that I thought, had a second thought and knew he was coming for me, and I jerked it down, Let me tell you that no less than probably 1,000 people have already seen the post that I posted. Because when it went to him, it tagged everybody that was with him and everybody that was with them and everybody that was with them. So if you're going to say something nasty or you're going to say something pitiful me on Facebook, understand, we're not with you. We're not face to face. If I said something mean to him, to his face, he would know my demeanor. Well, she's having a bad day. She's hurt. Blah, 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 blah. It's okay. I'll walk away. When you're posting on social media, we don't see that. This sees what you didn't say. Am I right? Okay. So we're not going to post on social media anymore, are we? Everybody's going to do away with Facebook, right? Boy, look at those faces.
When you accepted your role as a Christian, you accepted the responsibility to encourage and lift people up.
Yes.
You did not accept the position to tear people down. But I'll give you an example.
They better hope I find it instead of you. Just saying.
One of my pastors a long time ago got angry with me. And so he went on Facebook and called me a liar. I really didn't care what he called me. But what happened, some people that I knew about but did not know personally and never met them, they started joining in. If he's a liar, he shouldn't be a pastor, blah, 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 blah. And he destroyed them.
Yeah.
They don't want nothing to do with church, nothing to do with the pastor, nothing to do with God. All because he got mad and called me a liar. Didn't hurt me. I'm still here. He's not here anymore. Hurt him. But it hurt the people he was trying to reach, because in his stupidity, he put a wedge between them and God.
Yeah.
And people were making negative comments about me that never met me, never knew me, never heard me, knew nothing about me. But all because he said I'm a liar, all of a sudden I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
The season of keeping is about embracing life in a way that honors God as we strive to exhibit his righteousness in our action. Let's call it a mirror reflection in our lives. Let's call him a mirror reflection in our lives. Again, your words are out of the abundance of your heart and everything that's within it, but your actions are the intent of the heart. This is a season much different than the others we have walked through. In this season, you should strive to come face to face with the spirit of discernment. Now, we're going somewhere with this. It has been taught in Ecclesiastes 3:6, the phrase, a time to keep and a time to cast away, suggests that there is a proper time for preservation and a proper time for casting away. In reality, this season is about being in touch with and allowing the spirit of discernment to lead you in discerning what or when to keep something, whether it's a relationship, a belief, or a possession, or what or when it's time to cast it away. The very nature of discernment is this:
the ability to make discriminating judgments, which refers to discerning or differentiating between spiritual realities, motivations, or paths guided by one's spiritual beliefs and understanding. Also, to distinguish between and recognize the moral implications of different situations and courses of action. What I told you about the story of Facebook and the people that didn't know me, what they were doing was they were making discerning judgments without knowledge.
Right.
They never sought the truth. If you want to develop a discerning spirit, you have to learn to seek the truth. Well, Rob said this about me. Well, what are you mad for? Well, you shouldn't have said that about me. Did you hear him say it? Well, no, I didn't hear him say it, but Tamara told me he said it. I said, well, why don't we go ask Rob if he said it or not? Yeah. Before we jump into a conclusion, why don't we go seek the truth? Why don't we go find out if that's really what happened? Because, you know, maybe he said something, but it kind of, Tamara may have heard it a little off kilter, and let's go straighten this out. Let's go seek the truth. You'll never be discerning when you accept somebody's word for something.
Right.
Well, that's my friend. Doesn't matter. Devil will use your friend just like he uses you. Seven things God hates. But the one he hates the most, the Bible says, is the one who sows discord among the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he hates the most. The murder? No. Stealing? No. Causing one Christian to have a situation or feel some kind of way against another Christian. That's what he hates the most. Amazing. Why? Because it destroys the kingdom of God. It flat out destroys the kingdom of God. And I'll give you an example. Somebody came into the church and they began to sing. But somebody told them something about the tech team being something or another. I don't remember what. So they're up here singing and their battery and their microphone goes out.
Oh my.
They said the tech team deliberately
sabotaged
their microphone. Tech team didn't have nothing to do with it. Their battery went out and it was a practice. It wasn't. And all of a sudden there's all this discord. I'm like, what are you talking about? Nobody's sabotaging you. Nobody wants you to do bad. We're not, listen, I tell our people, you bring your A game to church. I don't care how you feel about what. Better be bring your A game to church or you won't be doing it anymore. I don't have time to play games. We're here on Sunday and Wednesday to give God our very best.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put every difference we have aside and we're going to do the best we can for God.
Mm-hmm.
And there ain't nobody trying to sabotage nobody. But I had to deal with this chaos flying through the church because somebody thought they were sabotaged, all because somebody told them something that wasn't true to start with. Seek the truth. If you want a discerning spirit, seek the truth. Before you fly off the handle, before you get crazed, before you start having opinions, go seek the truth. I call it the 360. You got to view something from all around the circle. You can't mm-hmm. just view it from one spot. You're going to get an incomplete picture. Okay? So you have to be able to tell the difference. And you got to, in order to do that, you got to look at the motivation. Why is somebody telling you what they're telling you about somebody else? What is their motivation? They're saying something negative, their motivation's not right. Because if it's negative, they should be shutting their mouth. What's their motivation? And then you have to look at what is their understanding. What is their spiritual understanding? Because if they spiritually don't understand that they're not supposed to be tearing people down,
mm-hmm.
don't fall into the trap.
Right.
But you have to have discernment to know not to fall into the trap.
Right. We're done with the thing, but I just want to say this. Can I use you, Shannon?
Okay. We can't ask her from up here.
Well, yeah, we can. Okay.
Shannon was late to church today.
Yeah, I know. When
you
she
know why?
Was why?
She moved closer.
Listen, when Shannon first met me, people talked, and she got a bad. Now remember, when you're talking about people, when you're angry with them, the people that you're talking to them about is not going to like them when you decide to like them. Okay, Shannon did not like me for a long time until Shannon was put in my car for a 2-hour ride. And after that 2-hour ride, am I lying? Her exact words to me was, "You're nothing that they say you are." Am I right? I think even Chico said that. Did you not? So remember, when you're talking bad about somebody, when you decide to like them, the person that you're talking to is not. Just saying.
Yeah, we deal with that with marriages. I tell couples all the time, you go tell your friends about your husband, and then when you make up with them, they're not going to make
Absolutely.
Up with them. They're still going to be angry. And that's why you keep it in-house. Nobody's ever heard me to say anything about my wife. You probably have never heard my wife say anything about me. Why? We understand this simple concept that if we have a situation or a difference, we're to work it out between us. We're not going to go tell you about it so that you either hate me or her, because we're going to make up. I can guarantee that's going to happen. So y'all never come back. See? What's that? What touches your heart, sweetheart? We were short chairs. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the service. And Lord, we give you our hearts tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.